The reason we celebrate Christmas is because Jesus stepped down from heaven into the darkness of the world and brought light and salvation. Because he came 2,000 years ago, he's still big enough to enter into the darkness that we live today and to bring light to it. And that is Nikki's story. That's my story. And for many of you who know Christ in this room, that's your story. And so yes to Christmas, yes to all the festivities, but the reason is because the Son of God entered into the sin-filled world so that he could save it for all eternity. That's why we celebrate Christmas, and we are so, so happy you are here with us tonight to celebrate with us. And so as you walked into this room tonight, I'm pretty confident of some things that you walked in the midst of the chaos of Christmas, because Christmas is wonderful, but it can be chaos, right? And in the midst of what will happen in your life over the next 48 to 72 hours, a typical Christmas story involves several characters that I bet you're going to bump into over the next few days. And so I want to bring to light some of the characters that we'll probably see in your lives and in your families. The first one is a wide-eyed child, right? Christmas is just mind-blowing to a little child. It's full of wonder, full of joy, full of sugar and presents, and lots of books and lots of hot chocolate and all the things that make kids so excited. And so they're probably gonna be a little antsy to go to bed tonight. They're gonna wake up way too early in the morning. And there's just this joy of a wide-eyed child and the childlike wonder of Christmas, right? And right alongside of the wide-eyed child is another character that some of you can recognize. It's the exhausted parent. Somebody say amen. Right? How many to-do lists do there have to be in the month of December? It began the beginning part of December. There's concerts, there's plays, there's little recitals. Then there's all kinds of Christmas parties and baked goods and presents. And it just feels like some parents are ATM machines. Somebody give another amen for that, right? It's just like chaos. And by the time we've cleaned the house, we've got everything wrapped, we're all ready. Parents can be exhausted. Just tired. In fact, they're one of I love Christmas music, at the end of one of the song, beginning to look a lot like Christmas, there's this line. I'm like, "Yep," and mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again. Right? It's the exhausted parent of Christmas. It just happens. Another character that you'll probably run into, or maybe have the opportunity to run into, is the grateful grandparent. Now, this one's a little bit more tender for me because this year my grandmother passed away. And so she'll no longer be with us this Christmas. And it's a unique Christmas because my mom is here and we are hosting her. And so a grateful grandparent is maybe a parent who doesn't have to do quite as much. She doesn't have to cook because we're joyfully hosting her. But he will get to sit around and just look at children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and the families that they have and just be really grateful. Another character that I think you'll probably run into, I'm calling this character the crazy uncle, right? And I'm not sure if it's a crazy uncle. It might be a cousin. It might be an aunt. I don't know who it is, but it's somebody in your family. This crazy uncle has very peculiar mannerisms, unique hobbies, lots of conspiracies, and they have an unbelievable ability to overshare everything, especially their medical diagnosis, right? Like, there's just like, everybody knows that person in your family. Now, I need to bring you into something. This might humble you, but you need to hear it. If you don't know who that person is in your family, you're probably it. And so just be careful all that you share, right? But you're gonna run into some crazy family people. Another person that we have this year is the frozen delivery man, right? That's still trying to get presents out. But there's lots of characters that we'll run into as we celebrate Christmas. But here's what I wanna do. There's also some specific characters in Luke chapter 2 that I think if we'll just turn our heart to God's word today, it'll be incredibly instructive to us as we walk throughout the Christmas season. So I'm gonna read Luke chapter 2, verse 15. We've been in through 20. We've been in Luke chapter 2 all of December, and we're gonna wrap up our section tonight. And so I wanna read God's word to you. See if you can pick out the characters we're gonna talk about. And when the angels had left them, and that them is the shepherds, When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Last Sunday, we talked about the shepherds. And today we pick up the story, and if you'll remember, the shepherds were actually, the angels came to talk to shepherds. An angel came out of the sky and gave a very unique message to the shepherds. I want to read it just because it's really important for our text today. It says Luke 2:11-12. It says, "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And our text today says that immediately after the angel told them where to go and what they would see, immediately they went straight away to find what the shepherds or what the angels had said. And they find Mary and Joseph. And this baby is lying in a manger exactly as the angel said. Now you need to know this. Mangers are not usually where babies are found. A manger was a feeding trough. And they had found this baby wrapped in cloth and directly in a manger. What's interesting about this story is we're used to the Christmas story. If you've been around Christianity for a long time, we rehearse these stories. We sing them in songs. We tell them in books to our children. We read the scripture together. And so we just, in our minds, know an angel came and told the shepherds, and this is where you'll find him. And then they went, and exactly what the angel said was true. And we just think, yeah, that's what happens. That's the Christmas story. But you need to get our lives, like if this happened to us, what that would be like. It'd be similar to this. Like your last day of work this week, you were doing some, maybe you're working, you're shoveling snow or something. And all of a sudden, an angel came from the sky and interrupted and said, "Today the Messiah is born. And here's how you're gonna know what I'm saying is true. You're gonna go to Bethlehem, and when you get to Bethlehem, you're gonna find a baby wrapped in cloth, and then that baby is gonna be lying in a feeding trough. That's how you're gonna know that what you just happened with an angel is really true, and that is the Messiah." That is astounding at any level. It would be very similar to this. We're working, an angel comes to us and says, "Hey, today, there's a gift for you. You need to go to Cambridge, Iowa. You are gonna see a golden mailbox with a red envelope, and in that red envelope is gonna be $100,000. Now, first of all, if that happened to you, you would wonder if you're crazy, right? But then all of a sudden, you're like, maybe I wasn't a crazy angel thing. That's a real angel. And you drove to Cambridge, you found the golden mailbox, and in the mailbox was a red envelope with $100,000. In that moment, you'd be like, are you kidding me? No one's gonna believe this except my crazy uncle. He'll totally get into this. If that truly happened to you today, I'm gonna tell you right now, you would tell everybody that you ran into what had happened. And that's exactly what our characters, the shepherds, do. As soon as they find what the angel has said them, they go and tell everyone. Verse 17, after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. When they found Jesus, listen to this, listen. When they found Jesus, they went and told everyone they could find that would listen. They wouldn't shut up. Like, you're not gonna believe what just happened. And not only is this crazy, it was the crazy personal story that they had experienced, but it was also the historical, theological reality that the people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah, and they had found the Messiah, and they couldn't stop but go and tell everyone that would listen. And not only did they go tell, they also went worshiping. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which was just as they had been told. So our shepherds, they give us some instructions in their lives. If you've seen the Messiah, go and tell. If you have found the Lord, if you found the Son of God and realized who he is, go and tell somebody, and on your way, worship as you go. Because the shepherds are characters in the story of God that God met them, and when he met them, it changed everything, and they went and told. Next, we have Mary. Now, Mary is certainly a big character of the Christmas story. I don't want to read verse 19. It's just a really simple sentence, but pregnant with instructions for us this Christmas season. Verse 19 says, "But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them." Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. She's treasuring and meditating. She was a first-time mom. Every ounce of historical context would tell us that she was probably very young. And beyond being alone, young and a first-time mom, she had no one around her. She didn't have family or friends. She was in a barn of some sort that she was in. Now, can you imagine that special moment that she's holding this child? I remember each of my kids after they were born. My wife, after labor, was taking a nap, and I had the opportunity to hold all my kids and literally just be, each of them being overwhelmed with emotion of holding this child that God had entrusted to us. But it's not just the moment of a mother and a child that she's treasuring up and that she's meditating on. There's such a bigger story, because there's something much greater than a mother-child relationship happening here. An angel had come to Mary and said, "Mary, you are pregnant, and the child that you're holding is the very Son of God, the Messiah, who will come and sit on the throne of David and save the world from their sins." And she's sitting there holding this child in some rundown shelter in Bethlehem, treasuring and meditating on this. Now, what is she thinking? We don't know. This is where we have to put some speculation, but actually the text of Luke maybe helps us find what she may be meditating on. In Luke chapter 1, when the angel tells her what's gonna happen, she then burst out into song, or at least there's a poem. It's called Mary's Magnificat. And it's at the end of Luke chapter 1, and it's her song after the response of the angel telling her she was pregnant. And here's some of the things she says and some of the things she may be treasuring. Luke 1, 46 and 48 says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.'" Listen, "because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant." Mary knew she was a poor, no name, young girl from Nazareth. She's nobody. And she's holding this child and saying, "Only God, who am I? Who am I to be the one that is holding this Christ child? Who am I?" And for us, that we should recognize, God, who are we that you should save us? Just a little bit of statistics. So there's 8 billion people on planet Earth. You're one of them. That's not a lot. Most of us are insignificant, ordinary people in this room. Who are we that the God himself would send his son to earth to pay for our sins? Who are we? We're no one, and not only are we no one worth saving, we're actually also incredibly sinful and need saving. And as we come into Christmas season, maybe we would treasure and meditate, God, who am I that you would send your son for me? That you would save me? But it's not only, God, who am I? She's also remembering God's goodness and his promise. Another part of her song, this is now in verse 54 of Luke 1. It says, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." God had promised a savior all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham. In fact, if you're really a theological student, you know that he made a promise in Genesis 3, but we're not going there right now. Genesis 12, he made a promise through Abraham. And here she is thousands of years later, holding the promise. And so maybe just maybe, what Mary is remembering, what she's treasuring and meditating on, is the fact that God keeps his promises. He doesn't fail. When he says it'll happen, it will happen. And maybe this evening, as you're thinking about the characters of Christmas, you need to be reminded of Mary, who is treasuring and meditating on this God who says, I keep my promises. Mary treasured this child. She knew she was unworthy, but God used her. And she also knew that God keeps his promises. The shepherds tell. Mary treasures and meditates on these things of God. We've got one more character. It's actually hard to see. It's not explicit in the text, but they're certainly there. I want to read verse 17. This is what it says. And after seeing them, this is the shepherds talking about Mary and Joseph, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So it's kind of implicit that there was a group of people, I'm going to call them the crowd, all who heard the testimony of the shepherds were amazed. And so what the third character is crowds. The crowds, once they heard the shepherds' testimony, they were absolutely amazed. And then, now this is where I want us to be sensitive to what God might be wanting to do in your life. Because here's one of the biggest temptations that we face during the Christmas season. It's to be amazed, but not saved. Guys, it's wonderful. All the things that will happen at Christmas, the Christmas trees, your perfectly decorated house, all your Christmas playlist, all the things. Like, we really enjoy that at our family. We do Advent readings every night. Yesterday, we got together and all made Christmas cookies. I made fudge, and there's Christmas music going on. And one of the temptations of Christmas is to be amazed by all of that, but not saved. Another way we think of that is there may be some in this room who would say, I'm amazed at the story. It's really cool to think about, yeah, there were shepherds and angels and Jesus was born, and to be amazed by that historical reality, but to have never crossed the line to be saved by the person of Jesus Christ. The temptation of Christmas is to be amazed, but not saved. We don't know what the crowd was. But I've been around a lot of crowds when it comes to Jesus a lot, and there are some people whose amazement turns into salvation, and there's some that hear amazed like, man, that's really cool. Never thought about that. And then walk away unchanged. And the call of Christmas is to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not just a cool, cute story. He is offering salvation to everyone who believes. So you're going to run into some characters over the next 48 to 72 hours. But our biblical characters today give us a path to worship the Lord. So the first one is this crowds. Brother and sister, can I encourage you to not just walk through and see the lights and be around the Christmas tree and give some gifts, or just to hear some cool things about Jesus? I mean, that's really cool. Never even thought about that. But to move from being amazed to saved, which means simply this, that you would come to the point in your life where you realize by yourself you're in darkness, and the only hope for light you have is to believe the work of Jesus, that he came, was crucified, died, and rose again to overcome your sins, and that you would put your faith and trust in him. Maybe some of you are Mary. In this season, you need to treasure and meditate on who Jesus is. And you need to recognize, God, who am I that you would save me? And just turn your heart to worship. God, I'm nobody. In fact, I'm a sinner and you saved me, and I want to keep that treasure. Or maybe you need to hold on and treasure and meditate that God is the God who does not break his promises. He will hold them. Even though it's been thousands of years, God's promises never fail. Or maybe the shepherds are instructive for you today. And you've found the Messiah. The Spirit of God came and showed you that you needed him. You gave your life to him, and you know that he is salvation. And maybe the shepherds for you today is a reminder to tell the story of Jesus to someone else. Would you pray with me? God, it's so fun to have this room together where we can celebrate Christmas. God, but I beg you that we would not fall into the temptation to just be amazed by some, maybe some songs we're singing tonight, or maybe a history factoid that we learned from the text. But God, that amazement would turn into salvation. And God, for those of us who know him, who know you, would you help us, God, to treasure the fact that the God of the universe sent his son to save us. God, we are nobody that you should save us, but you love sinners and you've made a way to redeem us. And help us treasure and meditate on that and the fact that you don't ever break your promises. Furthermore, God, help those who know you to go and tell. Father, we're so thankful for the Christmas story. It's not just a stable and a manger and some shepherds and it's an angels. God, it is you, the Son of God, fully man, coming to earth to make a way for our salvation. And because of that, Lord, we worship you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.